If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Thursday, September the 4th, 2025. I'm Tim Wildman, as the announcer just told you, and in studio with me is Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good day.
And Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
And out of studio with me is Brother Ray Pritchard. How you doing, Ray?
Hey, I'm doing great, Tim. How are you today?
Hey, fall is in the air. How about there?
Oh, man, it's 64 degrees in Kansas City, heading up toward a high of only 77, so really nice September weather.
That's 79 here in Tupelo, high of 83 this afternoon.
We're doing Fred. Okay. We're doing
what about, okay. Let's look up Fred's hometown. Fred, give me your hometown.
Well, let's go with Halifax.
Okay, I'm gonna go Halifax, see what's going on in Halifax with the weather. The older you get, the more you care about the weather. I don't know why that is. That's just some kind of strange phenomenon. All right, 69
and
back
not
home,
bad.
Fred.
Not bad. That's not a nice September morning. And you got to remember, it is 12 noon up there. It's 5 after 12.
Going up to high of 72 there.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be a great fishing day, wouldn't it?
Great fishing day. And wait about 4 weeks and you'll have fall colors.
Oh, fall color. Really?
Oh, gorgeous.
They're gorgeous. Yeah.
They are
Well,
gorgeous.
That's really neat. It's kind of similar to New England, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just, same latitude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A few hundred miles north of Maine?
Well, actually, if you fly east from Maine, you catch a lot of the Maritimes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So if I were to go to, let's say I flew into Maine, for mm-hmm. example, got a car.
Yeah.
What would you do? Drive up the coastline to Halifax?
If you flew into Portland, Maine, you could drive along the coast and you cross the border at St. Stephen.
Okay.
And you hit New Brunswick.
All right.
And then you can drive through Moncton, New Brunswick, where I used to live, and then carry on to Nova Scotia or Prince Edward Island.
But that's a beautiful drive there. Yeah,
absolutely gorgeous. And, of course, I'm a bit prejudiced. I come from the part of Nova Scotia called Cape Breton Island.
Right.
And that has the Highlands.
Okay.
I've told you before about the Cabot Trail.
Yeah.
One of the most beautiful drives in the world, Cabot Trail.
The Cabot Trail.
Yes. Especially fall colors.
Yeah. Have you ever been there, Ray?
I have been to New Brunswick several times, but never to Nova Scotia. And, okay, Fred, I'm looking at it right now. Cape Breton Island, it's up on the northern edge of Nova Scotia?
Northeast.
That's gorgeous.
It's
a
beautiful place.
All right, let's put it on a bucket list right there.
It has the Bador Lakes kind of, it's kind of like your hand, shaped like your hand, the island.
Yeah.
And in the middle of it all is the beautiful Bador Lakes.
Okay.
Oh, it's just gorgeous.
All right. Let's put it on our bucket list.
Yes.
To see.
Yes, and I'm not paid by the Cape Breton tourism industry.
Okay.
I get no checks.
All right, you're not even paid in lobsters. they could pay you in lobsters, and you'd be happy about that, right?
I'd be a very wealthy guy.
Yeah,
lobsters are not cheap.
You weren't with us yesterday, Ray, but we were talking about Fred gets about once a month he gets lobsters shipped to him from New England in the dry ice to his
for
home.
Real, Fred. You
not
get,
not,
you
not
get
lobsters, but the lobsters, the lobster meat.
Yeah, 24 hours. You get it from, it comes from Maryland. It can come from Maine. And they ship it overnight, UPS or FedEx, and you get it on your table within 24 hours.
Mm. And you get it shipped in about once a month, huh?
Once every couple of months.
I love it.
When we get the yearning.
I love it.
Yeah. Reminds him of being back home.
It is. It's all wonderful. Right. We have lobster rolls.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
And potato salad.
My wife, Alice, she could live off lobster rolls. She wouldn't need anything else.
I'll get you the address.
Okay, give me the address. That'd be great. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Chris, do you get anything shipped to your home from around the world?
Amazon boxes.
Oh.
But who doesn't?
Yeah. But there's no food in there.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
But a number of people do that. I used to think that like ordering stuff online was kind of silly. Like, who in the world would do this? For example, Papa John's, they were among the first restaurants or businesses to do the whole order your product online and we'll deliver it to you. And I was like, that's so stupid. You already have your phone in your hand, just call them. And then they had like the PapaJohns.com bowl football game in Birmingham. And then all of a sudden, you know, now you're ordering your Chick-fil-A online or whatever. So I clearly was not the investor to listen to 20 years ago when all that stuff was going.
Right, right.
One thing for Ray. Ray used to live in Chicago many years.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You can get Chicago deep pizza, deep dish pizza, shipped to you overnight.
Listen, we have done that, Fred.
Oh, yeah.
Giordano's, Lou Malnati's. I mean,
and what do you do? Just you pop it in the oven when you get there and cook it for half an hour or so, or what?
It probably comes to camp frozen for you.
It came frozen hard, right?
Yeah.
It's got the dry ice around it and everything, you know. But you defrost a little bit and pop it in there and cook it, and it's as close to heaven as you're going to get here in Kansas City. If pizza's what you love.
Uh-huh. Well, I have to remember that. That's interesting. I didn't know you could do pizza like that.
Absolutely.
Okay. Oh, it's great.
And you don't even have to risk being carjacked. That's a great thing about it right there.
That's right.
You know? Win-win.
That's a segue into the news.
Yeah. I was thinking of a segue.
All right, go ahead, Chris.
One other place that you can get a lot of good seafood is the great state of Louisiana, but unfortunately, New Orleans is a big reason why not everybody goes to Louisiana. That's because New Orleans, like a Jackson, Mississippi, a Memphis, or a Chicago, they have a lot of crime there. And I'll begin here. Yesterday, after hosting the leader of Poland at the White House, the president was asked about his plans to possibly send National Guardsmen to Chicago and other places, and the president, Donald Trump, is not ruling out the idea of sending troops to New Orleans. Clip 11.
So we're making a determination now. Do we go to Chicago or do we go to a place like New Orleans where we have a great governor, Jeff Landry, who wants us to come in and straighten out a very nice section of this country that's become quite, you know, quite tough, quite bad. So we're going to be going to maybe Louisiana. And you have New Orleans, which has a crime problem. We'll straighten that out in about 2 weeks.
Now, Republican Governor Jeff Landry, unlike Democrat Governor J.B. Pritzker of Illinois, Governor Jeff Landry told Fox just before the show started, hey, I'm all for troops coming here to help curb crime and help people. Clip 12.
Well, look, we're going to talk to the president. We will do whatever the president would like us to do. We want the federal resources that whatever he wants to send us. Again, look, I think it's important to recognize that, again, whether it's New Orleans or Memphis, those folks in Chicago, they need the National Guard more than anyone else. They seem to not want it. But again, whether it's New Orleans, any of those cities, Bill, I think the president has the right combination.
Well, okay, so yesterday we talked about this. What's the constitutional question at hand? Does the president of the United States have the authority to call out the National Guard and employ, is that the right word, the National Guard on cities? And I think the answer is no, unless there's some sort of a national emergency that's, and this is my opinion, you know, but I think, or you're invited in by the governor of the state. Mm-hmm. And in this case, Governor Landry of Louisiana is inviting the president's help in curbing crime in the largest city in Louisiana. So I don't have a problem with that because he's asking them. However, I would want to know this. Has Governor Landry called out his own National Guard to help in New Orleans? That's what I would
say. Good question, yeah.
You need to, first of all, call out your own National Guardsmen from around the state of Louisiana to go to New Orleans. That would be the most. That would be the first step I would take. But what I'm saying is the secondary question there. If the governor calls in, ask the president for help, I don't have a problem with it. Ray, go ahead. Your thoughts on this?
Well, first of all, when the governor of Louisiana says, I welcome this help, then there is no constitutional issue. There's no legal question at all. And I think it's a fantastic idea, especially when, Tim, I mean, you've made the point very carefully. It's a whole other situation in Chicago where both the mayor and the governor for a lot of reasons, do not want any help from the feds.
Right.
Well, fine. That's a different question. I did find it interesting, Tim, that the president said, take about 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's Trump being Trump. You know,
I would avoid setting deadlines.
He shoots off his mouth on things like that. Where he's right on the overall general principle of something, and then he'll just say something like, you know, 2 weeks, we'll have it solved. Well,
you know, the other side of it is whatever has happened in D.C. certainly has happened quicker than any of us expected. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We all know it's, you know, you bake that in with Trump. His mouth gets him. I better not say it like that. His mouth says a lot of things that, you know, are flamboyant. Yes. I'll put it this way. But his general principles and his core instincts on political issues are almost always right. In the end, you may take some time to prove it. Go ahead, Fred.
I don't believe Trump is going to force troops into Illinois, Chicago. No. I don't think he's going to do that.
I don't either.
But he's kind of starting to win the PR game.
Yeah.
Over Pritzker and over Mayor Johnson of Chicago, because now you're seeing a steady stream of residents of Chicago on Fox.
Yeah.
Some of their political leaders saying, listen, you know, Pritzker and Johnson, it's fine for them. They have their own security detail. You know, people watch over their houses. Here we are on the south side of Chicago, whatever the case may be, and we don't have the protection that they do. So they're saying to Trump, why don't you come to town? I think what Trump may do before it's over, he won't get an invitation, but he's going to go to Chicago and he's going to have a news conference in a particular area that's high crime, all that sort of thing. And that will draw attention to it. Pritzker and it's, I'm not the first to say this, Pritzker and Johnson are afraid if those troops were to come in, they would be successful in bringing the crime rate down in Chicago.
Well, that's what the former police chief of Chicago said, which we led the story with. Was it? What's the gentleman's name?
The ex-police chief is Jody Weiss, if I said his name correctly.
Did we have audio from that? Or
we do not. Okay. I can share the link or mention some of his comments.
But that was interesting. I saw that story last night. The former Chicago Police Department chief of police, he said out loud, he said the reason the governor and the mayor don't want Trump coming here with troops is because he might work.
Yeah.
Well, and now you have D.C. as proof.
Yeah, and I have that audio of the mayor of D.C. again, if you want, where she's talking about how Trump's intervention did help combat crime.
How long is that?
It's 29 seconds.
Okay, this is Mayor Bowser of D.C. She was originally opposed to President Trump in the District of Columbia, you know, bringing in the National Guard. But then when they came in and it's basically stopped the crime, then she changed her – to her credit, she changed her tune.
Right.
So this is what we're about to hear?
Correct.
Okay, go ahead.
It's clip 10.
And we greatly appreciate the surge of officers that enhance what MPD has been able to do in this city. The difference between this period, this 20-day period of this federal surge and last year represents a 87% reduction in carjackings in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
Democrat mayor.
Yeah,
and she's referring to the MPD. She's referring to the Metro Police Department, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, we'll see how this goes. But I do agree with you, Fred, that the citizens, the majority of citizens in these big cities that have this crime problem, they want something done. But again, I say that, and then I sound like I'm talking out of both sides of the mouth. But they keep voting for Democrats. So, but I don't know what to tell you.
But if this former chief is right, that Pritzker and Johnson don't want Trump to send troops in because it might work, that lives would be saved, that shootings would be down.
That's called Trump derangement syndrome, Fred.
It is, right. But they're willing to have more people in Chicago die violently rather than give Trump credit as the mayor.
Well, they wouldn't even have to invite the governor there could do it himself. As I said earlier, talking about Louisiana, the governor of Illinois could say, okay, I'm calling out the National Guard of Illinois to help with police work making safe the streets of Chicago. That's all it would take. But they act like there is no problem, basically. I saw a clip of the governor. His name, how do you pronounce his last name in Illinois?
Pritzker.
I saw him the other day, and he was like, doing a short video from on a sunshiny day on a peaceful street, going, hey, there's no problem here. I don't know what everybody's worried about. It's all good. And I'm going like, don't make a video, a staged video like that, when it's 10 o'clock in the morning, on a peaceful. He said he was some kind of little village or something.
And
like
you're that. Surrounded by security.
That's what I'm saying, and he's surrounded by all the security that a governor is afforded. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Next story.
I want to shift gears real quick and bring attention to a couple of things here out of the great state of Florida. When you go to AFN.net, Fred posted an Associated Press story, and the headline is, Florida will work to eliminate all childhood vaccine mandates. There is also a video about this. Florida plans to become first state to eliminate all childhood vaccine mandates. I bring this up because Florida made a huge announcement yesterday, and stay with us throughout this afternoon and tomorrow because we are getting a reaction to this. Bottom line, Florida's Surgeon General, his name is Dr. Joseph Latipo, he made the announcement yesterday that, again, Florida is going to eliminate all childhood vaccine mandates. They're not saying you can't get a shot if you want to. It's just saying it's your choice not to get vaccine mandates like a lot of states require. Here is Dr. Latipo, clip 6.
The Florida Department of Health, in partnership with the governor, is going to be working to end all vaccine mandates in Florida law. All of them. It's wrong. It's immoral. They do not have the right to tell you what you put in your body. So people are going to have to make a decision. People are going to have to choose a side. And I am telling you right now that, you know, the moral side is, it's so simple. No one has that right, guys. People have a right to make their own decisions, informed decisions. You want to put, you know, whatever different vaccines in your body, God bless you. I hope you make an informed decision. You don't want to put whatever vaccines in your body, God bless you. And I hope you make an informed decision. And that's how it should be.
Fred?
Yeah, that was a big announcement yesterday, and you heard the cheers. And again, we want to emphasize, they are not banning vaccines in Florida. All they're saying is, we're getting rid of the mandates. The mandates that say you must, or you can't work here, or your kid can't go to school here. That's what they're getting rid of, this government heavy hand that says you must or you're going to pay a penalty. Mm-hmm. In Florida now, if you're mom and dad and you want your little girl, little boy to get those vaccines, you can still do it. But if you're a mom and dad and you say, no, I don't want my child getting vaccine A, B, or C, then you have a right to do it. That's what they're working on there in Florida.
So that's the Surgeon General?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Does every state have a Surgeon General?
A lot of states have a health officer.
Okay, different names.
The state's
chief health officer. And in Florida, it's called the Surgeon General of the state of Florida. Mm-hmm. What'd you think about what he was saying there, Ray?
Well, I'm trying to think of how to put this. I'm extremely skeptical about what he said. I wonder if it's not an overreaction to the justified the justified feelings we all have about what happened with COVID-19. In fact, we feel like we were lied to repeatedly over and over and over again. But I wonder, does it contribute to the public health to take away the mandate for the tetanus shot or for the polio or for smallpox or for what else? Rubella, measles, mumps, things like that. And the jury, I mean, we don't know yet what the long-range outcome can be, but I am on the side of, because I don't believe all vaccines are bad, and I'm on the side of saying the ones that we know and are proven to be effective, it's not a bad thing to require that our kids have them for their sake and for the sake of other children in the school.
Yeah, I'm when you're not a doctor and you're not a scientist, right, and you don't study this stuff for a living, you look at somebody with a white coat and you go, what do you think?
I'm going, true. You know,
So it's hard. And then when people in white coats disagree, you're going, I don't know what to make of all this. How am I supposed to figure this out? But that's what I thought. I thought the same things you thought. I thought I appreciate freedom and liberty, and we don't want forced vaccinations on people. But that's what he's saying. You can still get vaccinated.
Yep.
For all these things, if you want to. But the mandates by the state of Florida are taken off. Can he do that unilaterally? The Surgeon General?
They can take. Well, no, I think it has to be approved by the legislature. They can take the mandates away. But you know what Ray is saying is very true. I think what happened is that the experience of COVID,
I know,
and COVID mandates have just left a bad taste in people's mouths.
Yeah. Right, and the forced.
The
people losing their jobs, military people being thrown out, and now, I never will forget Biden when he was soon after he was president, and him saying, you know, all these people are getting fired for not getting the COVID vaccine, mm-hmm. and like we said, the military losing their, you know, lifelong. They've been there for 20, 25 years. You had this happen in Europe.
Yep. Yes.
Your family. So, and you go in like, and then Biden says, well, guess what? He's only saying what we all knew. Well, we all know. So you can't prevent getting COVID by the COVID vaccine shot. Okay. Then it's not a vaccine. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the medical term is, definition of vaccine exactly, but in the minds of people, vaccine means prevents you from getting something. We all agree with that?
Yeah.
Then Biden says, well, no, it doesn't prevent you from getting it. Okay. Then what does it do?
Then what is it?
Yeah. Right. So does it prevent you from spreading it? Nope.
Nope. That's right.
So you're telling me you're going to be forced to get a shot of an experimental drug, vaccine. Everybody admits it's experimental and rushed to market. And you're telling me it doesn't stop you from getting it, and it doesn't stop you from spreading it, and you're going to force people to get it or they lose their jobs.
Yeah.
Yep, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. That's what you mentioned, the bad taste in the mouth of Americans.
Yes.
That's what led to the skepticism and the bad taste.
And the other thing that happened since all of that, we know that people, perfectly healthy young males, athletes, have suffered consequences.
Myocarditis, what do you call it?
Yeah, it affects
the heart.
The lining around the heart. Mm-hmm. We have seen that. So on top of the mandate, it we're now seeing it has had negative impacts on some people.
Yeah. Okay, I want to tell y'all something. Just if you mention this to Steve, like, huh, this will trigger him. So there's no point in us being in this room. You just mentioned COVID vaccine, forced COVID vaccines.
Okay.
When Steve gets in here,
steak to the bulldog.
He will. We can just leave the room. He will rant on. All right. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Stay with us.
finally, some good news. Over 38,000 babies saved and more than 4,000 commitments to Christ through the ministry of Preborn this year alone. Here's Dan Steiner, president of Preborn.
But if we can get a mom into one of our clinics and show her her baby, and she has that close encounter of the best kind in her womb, she will choose life.
Preborn's networks of clinics provide hope, love, free ultrasounds, and the gospel in action across America. This is Ed Vitagliano. Will you join Preborn and AFR as we rescue 70,000 babies' lives this year? For $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound and help save a baby's life. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or donate securely at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Tim, Fred, Chris, and Ray. And as always, we thank you for joining us. Sandy Rios is with us now. Sandy is host of Sandy Rios 24/7, a podcast we feature here at AFR.net. She has three podcasts a week, typically. And she joins us ever so often on this program. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Tim.
How are you?
It's so nice to hear your voice. It's nice to be with the rest of the guys. I always enjoy it.
Thank you.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Well, this is an all-male panel every day. So it's
Come to add spice to your panel.
Yes, we're nice to have a lady's voice on with us every once in a while. Sandy, let's talk about that story. Fred, why don't you bring up that story for Sandy?
Yeah, we know that earlier this week, the Chinese leader Xi Jinping had a military parade and invited some friends, among them Vladimir Putin from Russia, and the Indian leader was there and a few others. And there is a story out there in the last 24 hours that Xi and Putin were caught on what's called a hot mic. In other words, there's a reporter covering the event, and they have a microphone that can pick up conversations from quite a distance. And according to various news outlets, Xi and Putin talked about advancements in medical technology, which may allow people to live up to 150 years. And so they were quite excited about that. And
how are they doing this conversation? Is it in Russian or in Mandarin?
Well, they both have translators with them.
Okay.
They were able to do that. But anyway, Sandy, that's what they're talking about. It was kind of interesting. And of course, they're talking about heart, other organs like that, that people need to survive. But the problem is that there's been reaction from doctors talking about transplants and that sort of thing, saying, you know, we got 100,000 people out there that are waiting for these vital organs like kidneys and that sort of thing. And we need to be focusing on that, not what these guys are talking about.
Well, I think, hello, Fred. I think a couple of things struck me about this. First of all, it's really kind of stunning. You know, we never have hot mics of these third communist leaders. This is really wild for them to have this private moment, because this was a very private discussion, and to have this picked up. But the thing that struck me, of course, is that the conversation is in part about organ transplants making us live longer. Then she says, yes, I'm hearing we might be able to live to 150. Now, I think both of them are like 72, and Putin is really interested in all of this stuff. But here's the notable thing to me, Fred, is, you know, the Chinese have notoriously for many years now been forcibly harvesting organs from people they don't like the Uyghurs. and who knows who else, probably Christians, who knows? And they do that with them living. They're living, and they take their organs out. They don't use anesthetic. It's a horrific thing. And so they're talking about, you know, taking other people's organs to make them live longer. And as you said, there's no evidence, no scientific evidence that anything like that organ transplant makes you live longer. It's still a human organ. But the thing that struck me is, like, we have on display here, too, very different worldviews. You think about how the lack of belief in God, we've got the absence, Putin might say he believes in God, but we know that he's got a godless man because of his actions, not his words. Hmm. And of course, Xi is an outright communist. Putin's an old communist, former, maybe still. But they don't have any respect for humanity, for human life. They're thinking about their own longevity, and they're thinking, obviously the Chinese by their actions are showing they don't have any regard for humanity. They'll just take their organs so that they can live longer. It just really struck me. And we've got the three leaders of the most threatening godless states in the world, really. It's North Korea and China and Russia. And not the Russians. A lot of people in Russia do believe in God, but a lot of them don't, Fred. It still has a real strong communist influence. And so that's all. I just thought it's really striking. See, that's how it changes. Knowing Christ, how it changes our attitudes and beliefs and views and values on everything. And this is just one illustration. And that could be the future of mankind if they gain power. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're talking to Sandy Rios. We're talking about this hot mic moment caught between the Chinese dictator Xi. That's how you pronounce it.
Yes.
It's X-I in English, right? I mean,
yes.
That's his last name, but you pronounce it Xi like S-H-E,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And Vladimir Putin, the Russia dictator, they were together at a military parade in China and when they were caught on hot mic talking about basically their mortality and how to escape it is what they were talking about. Ray, any thoughts on this?
Hey, Sandy.
Hey, Ray.
I got a question for you. Would you like to live to be 150 years old?
Are you kidding me?
while you were talking, that's what I was sitting here thinking about myself. So what do you say, Sandy?
Oh, gosh, no, not for me. but the thing of it is,
I agree.
A good question because that illustrates really what I was trying to say, another point of it. These guys think this life is all there is.
Right.
So
that's
they
the
have
point.
To cling and live as long as they can. We know that a new heaven and a new earth awaits us, and we actually are quite excited about it. So why would we live to 50 more years? I don't care about that. No, thank you.
I agree with you. Now, let me ask you this. I guess this could be a college course I'm about to bring up, but with communism, why is communism linked with atheism?
Well, because they're strictly describing their worldview. They are humanists. They believe in humans. They used to have humans, not God, and they're outright atheists. But that's the very essence of it. Lenin was a godless man. He was an atheist, and the whole system of communism is one that forces people to believe that there is no God. It's man's achievement. You may remember, you know what the Oscar looks like. It's this broad-shouldered, naked man, sort of androgynous, mm-hmm. broad-shouldered, goes down to his long legs, and he's very proud. The communists in Russia had this that they use a symbol like that. They call it. It was everywhere in Russia. It was the monument to human achievement. It's humans. You see their statues. It's people, work, the workers. It's all of this. It's about mankind and no God. And, of course, you were punished if you believed in God. So it's been that way from the very beginning of communism.
Right.
No God.
Same thing in China, Ray, right?
Yeah, but let me just add something here, Sandy. You know, the Bible says that God has put eternity inside every human heart. That's Ecclesiastes 3:11 and Augustine's famous prayer, Lord, you've made us for yourself and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. Yeah. There is something inside every human heart. We're looking for something, we're looking for immortality one way or another. So Xi and Putin, they can't get it through the gospel. I mean, they could, but they won't. So So what are you left with? Organ transplants? That is a terrible substitute for the gospel of Jesus Christ, because what does he give us? Not just life, but everlasting life, eternal life. And let me just say to all of our listeners, if you want to live forever, there's a way you can live forever.
And that's gloriously, putting, gloriously.
Yes, gloriously. Put your trust in Jesus Christ, and you will live with God forever.
Wow. Amen.
Yes, yeah. I do.
All right. Well, Sandy, what do you got coming up on your podcast this week?
Well, tomorrow we're going to have a discussion with Matt Staver about the future of the of gay marriage. It's really interesting because you know, he's actually representing Kim Davis, I think her name is, in, from Kentucky. I remember interviewing her way back when this happened. Just this because she was the county clerk from this small county. She's kind of what I would describe her as. She's just a normal Kentucky mom, you know, who's gone through hard times. I think she's divorced, and she decided to run for county clerk, and she won. And when the gay marriage thing was, when they demanded that she start issuing licenses that said male and men and men and women and women, she wouldn't do it. She would not do it. And she's based on my personal convictions, I can't do it. And she said, my assistant can do it or someone else. But they went after her with a vengeance. Now it's gotten all the way to the Supreme Court, and Matt is representing her.
Yeah.
And so it's possible that this could be, according to Matt, a case that could be the beginning of the marriage, the decision by the Supreme Court on marriage, gay marriage.
Gotcha. Well,
so that's what.
All right.
Anyway,
so,
answer. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. So, folks, join Sandy. All you need to do, she has three releases a week, typically, of her podcast. And the website to find it, go to AFR.net, click on podcast, AFR.net, click on podcast, and you'll see the banner for Sandy Rios 24/7. Then you get it, you know, delivered to you and listen, you know, on demand, as they say. On demand. So,
on demand.
Yeah. What is how does Bruce see the FBI? Bruce, rather, your husband. For those who don't know, most people do. But how does he see the FBI shaping up now under new leadership?
Well, I think he's pretty optimistic.
Okay.
Not without caution.
Right.
A lot of things have to change before. But you know, the thing, they're going to be losing like 5,000 by retirement, and also people that took that early retirement, I believe, in this month, in September. So they're going to be very short, but I guess our way of thinking about that is that the 5,000 that are leaving are probably really good riddance, good riddance.
Yeah.
And so I know they need to, you know, it's hard to, they're trying to get new recruits now, and I just say to any of you young men listening to me, it's time to apply if you have the qualifications, and certainly they're looking for good men and women who are people of integrity and honesty. If you go to the FBI website, you can apply, and I just really recommend people considering doing that. You know, with the Border Patrol, they got like 200,000 responses, I think something like that, when they opened up to hire more of them, and they just got more than they could handle. So it's time for all of us to pitch in. We are enjoying. God bless Donald Trump for he's given us hope. He's doing something great every single day. I've never seen anything like it. Doesn't mean he's perfect. I've never said that. But he's doing really great things. And we are basking in the relaxation and the freedom that we feel. But honestly, one man cannot do all of that. And he won't live forever. And I think all of us should be thinking about what we can do, not just relishing and enjoying, sitting back and enjoying the sigh and the relief of what we had with Biden. But we need to do something. So signing up for the FBI would be a good thing.
President Trump, you know, appointed Cash Patel as the director of the FBI and Pam Bondi as the attorney general. And so he reset the whole atmosphere over there, for lack of a better word, in the Justice Department. And you know, I just don't think he could have hired two better people for those positions. And as Sandy's saying, now's the time to seize the moment. And they're hiring. So go to the FBI website. As Sandy said, you got to be qualified, but you can We need to, while we have the door of opportunity or window of opportunity, these 4 years, who knows what happened after this, we need to staff, as it were, these federal government agencies with good, solid, patriotic conservatives.
Tim, it's our audience. It's American Family Radio's audience. Right. Those are the kind of people we must. There are so many of them in the White House already. I can't tell you how many good people are there praying, working, just doing the best they can. But there's only a few of them. And so we have a vast audience. Some of them have grandsons and sons, if it's older people listening, who might be qualified. It's not even just that. Justice Department needs great attorneys that can be trusted. And right. We need, they've been hiring from Harvard and all the Ivy League institutions. We need some Midwesterners, Southerners, people that have good, solid degrees and great knowledge and integrity. Amen. And love of country.
Amen.
So if you qualify for any of that, get your kids, your sons, your grandsons, yourself, get out there and apply.
Yeah. All right, Sandy, take care. Thank you for being on with us this morning.
Always fun. Okay.
All right.
Love you guys.
Take care, Sandy.
That's Sandy Rios joining us. Sandy is, again, you want to hear Sandy 3 days a week with her podcast. It's excellent. It's very popular among our on our podcast list. It's always near the top of downloaded podcasts. Go to Sandy Rios 24/7. You got to go to AFR.net. Go to AFR.net, then click on the podcast, and there you'll see the banner for Sandy Rios 24/7. You are listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Fred, Chris, and Ray. So the other day there was a rumor out that got out that President Trump had died,
yeah,
as in D-I-E-D,
yes,
over the weekend, so was it Don Jr.?
Yes.
What Don Jr.? He heard the rumor, and what happened?
According to the Daily Mail and other news outlets, Don Trump Jr. called his father on Labor Day weekend to make sure his father was alive amid death rumors.
That really happened.
Yes. I read it on the internet. It's true.
How do you do that? How do you have that conversation?
How do you even get into it? Like, hey, Dad. Yeah, what's up, Don Jr.? I was just going to see if you were alive.
Yeah,
what?
Dad, are you dead?
Yeah.
If he answers yes, then what do you say?
I know. What do you say? Well, sorry to hear that.
Really? How did that happen?
So when I read that story, I thought, is this a joke? But Don Jr. called his dad to see if everything was okay.
Yeah.
It'd be scary if he called and went to voicemail.
Oh, you're right.
Boy, that'd be scary.
You think President Trump has voicemail?
This line is no longer in service. Leave me a big, beautiful message. I'm not available right now.
And if this is Rosie O'Donnell, oh man,
I dare you to come back.
I don't want to finish that sentence.
Yeah. Actually, I do have a description of what the call supposedly went like. And I'll share this on our Today's Issues Facebook.
Are you serious now?
Yes.
You doing
I'm
joke.
Dead serious. Dead serious. I'm reading from this Daily Mail article.
No, dead serious is not appropriate.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
It says, I called my father over the weekend and was like, hey, just want to make sure you're not dead, Don Jr. said. I know my daughter's playing golf with you as we speak. I keep reading about it on Twitter, so I just want to make sure. He didn't even know what I was talking about, according to Don Jr.
No, he was asked again on Tuesday at a news conference.
Who was Trump?
Trump was asked about it. I think
about being dead.
About being what do you think about those reports? He said, I had an hour and a half interview with a particular network. I was went to one of my golf courses.
Right.
So he was busy having fun.
That genuinely is fake news.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Who was it? I tried to find this. Somebody, it's a famous quote, and it's being attributed to a bunch of people. I read the obituaries every day to see if I'm in it.
Who said that, Mark?
According to
Will Rogers or Mark Twain or somebody.
Yeah, according to the internet, it's anybody from Carl Reiner to Benjamin Franklin and Clarence Darrow.
It goes back many years.
Yes, I've heard it for years.
Yeah.
No, and when you hit 60 especially, then you start reading the obituary.
Yeah.
especially if you live in the same town you've grown up in.
Now, Yogi,
look, when I get the newspaper, the obituary, I get a special edition. The obits are printed on the front page, so I don't even have to turn to them.
Save you the
time. Mean for your newspaper there or back home?
That's the one here. Just because you never know, Tim. You never know.
Your name's going to be in there.
That's right.
Or something. Yeah, it's just like, you know, I'll be sitting there watching a football game and Allison would go, "Hey, do you know so-and-so died?" And I'm going, I didn't know that, but thanks for telling me.
That's right.
Yeah.
Got any other cheering?
Here are the pallbearers. Anyway, it's just funny how that happens in life. The older you get, the more the longer you give, the more people do die.
Yeah,
that's right. Go to funerals to see your friends.
People you know, right?
To play off of what Ray just said, one of Yogi Berra's famous sayings, this is one of my favorite, go to your friends' funerals or they won't come to yours.
<Ba-da-bunch>.
Yeah.
Go to your friends. Oh, me. Yeah, Yogi Berra also said, said this before. A lot of people know this Yogi Berra, but he was talking about the Yankees were when he's playing ball. We're on the road playing in some city, and they go, "Hey, are you going to this restaurant tonight?" And he goes, "No, nobody goes there anymore. They're always crowded."
So true.
Yeah. Nobody goes there anymore because they're always crowded. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Chris.
Well, we've got a few minutes left in the show, so I'm going to bring this up and then ask the panel for their favorite. Apparently on this day in history, a revival of The Price is Right began airing with Bob Barker as host. It was a huge hit, becoming one of the longest-running game shows on American television. So on this day in 1972, CBS brought back a revival of The Price is Right, and Bob was on there for a long time. What is your favorite game show?
I liked The Price is Right when it was on. I got to interview Bob Barker once.
Really?
Yeah. He went to school in Springfield, Missouri, which is where I went to Bible school, met my wife there. Mm-hmm. And he went to school there in his early years, and he was back for a class reunion. And got to speak to him. Really nice guy. Really nice guy.
Well, yeah, that was his personality. Very nice guy on TV. Bob Barker.
Bob Barker.
The Price is Right. Was he known for anything else? Did he do a talk show or anything? Or was
he may have had another game show prior to Price is Right.
I'll look it up.
He's been in the game show business a long time.
What about you? Bob Barker. He was around a long, long time. I mean, how long was he with Price?
From 72 until the early 2000s when Drew Carey took over.
Yeah.
Okay. So you want my favorite?
Yeah, go ahead, Ray.
I'm going to name one you've never heard of.
Okay.
It was on CBS for less than a year in 1979 to 1980 called Whew, WHEW. And that's my favorite game show because back then I was pastoring a church in Downey, California, right out of seminary. And I went up and tried out for that game show and on CBS. And because I was a pastor, that was kind of an unusual deal. And they put me on the game show. I played one game and won $26,200.
What?
Yes.
Back when that was
real money, that was more than three times what I was making as a pastor.
Wow.
Now, when was this now?
1979.
Okay.
And it's on YouTube. The show is called WHEW with an exclamation point. If you search it on YouTube, it lasted, what, 8 or 9, 10 months?
Okay.
And my game aired in November of 1979, and I won $26,000. It's always been my favorite game show.
Well, $26,000 then would be equivalent to 100 now almost, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, what year was this? 1979.
So you can watch this on YouTube?
Yeah, all the episodes are including my big game winner.
Okay. And
what was the point of the game though? What was your?
It should have won the award for the dumbest game show in history.
Okay.
It was like the exact opposite of Jeopardy.
Wow.
Let's just put it that way.
How much did you say you won?
26,000.
Okay, so 26,000 this time in 1979 is the equivalent of $122,975 and 81 cents.
Well, that's man. Wow, that's pretty impressive. I know my aunt, I've mentioned this before, but my aunt, she won, I think, car and some, she won a bunch of stuff on The Price is Right.
Oh, really?
In, would have been either the 60s, before Bob Barker. I think it was set in New York, was it? Whoever was the, I'm forgetting. Who was the host, they told me, but it was The Price is Right. Who preceded Bob Barker?
I'm looking it up.
It wasn't Jack Parr.
You got Bill Cullen?
Yeah, him.
We go way back, me and him.
But he was the host, and I think it was set in New York. That's before it moved to Los Angeles. And, she won The Price is Right.
Wow.
The Price is Right.
Got a car.
Yeah, that would have been, you know, back, I'm thinking the late 60s. When that happened. But I didn't know, Brother Ray. I've known you a long time. Never knew you won.
Never
hey,
mentioned
that church
never come
enjoyed
up.
That tithe check, Ray.
Yes, I
did. So the name of the show was what? How do you spell it?
If you look at W-H-E-W. Oh. It's like you're doing your forehead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's the opposite of Jeopardy.
It is a complete, you'll see.
And it lasted 1 year because Ray bankrupted them.
Yeah.
There you go. I broke the bank.
Yeah. Okay, we will be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.